will probably suffer by comparison if we are standing next to Bob Newhart's legacy. Born September 5th, 1929 in good old Oak Park, Illinois. Educated at Roman Catholic schools in the Chicago area, including St. Catherine of Siena Grammar School in Oak Park. Then he went to St. Ignatius College Prep. And then he went to Loyola University of Chicago. Graduated in 1953, had a bachelor's degree in business, drafted into the Army, served as a clerk in the Korean War, and then came back and went to Loyola's School of Law, but did not complete his degree. After the war, Newhart worked for the United States Gypsum Company as an accountant. Isn't that hilarious? I mean, he looks and sounds like an accountant for a gypsum company. He later said his motto was, "That's close enough." And his habit of adjusting petty cash imbalances with his own money showed he did not have the temperament to be an accountant. And then he started recording with a buddy of his phone calls, funny phone calls. It'd be the two of them on the phone. And then the one guy didn't do it anymore, so then Newhart just did it himself. And he was discovered here in Chicago as this stand-up comic who would do bits where he's got the phone to his ear and you wonder what's going on the other end, but his straight man was the funny part. And then he went on to get the Newhart, the Bob Newhart Show and Newhart. And I was just reading a summary of the Newhart finale and the famous end of the finale where Suzanne Pleshette makes that famous appearance. Pete, let's start it there.
Honey, wake up. You won't believe the dream I just had. What? But don't you want to hear about it?
All right, Bob. What is it?
Well, I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
I'm happy for you. Good night.
Nothing made sense in this place. I mean, the maid was an heiress. Her husband talked in alliteration. The handyman kept missing the point of things. And then there were these three woodsmen, but only one of them talked.
Yeah, Daryl and his... Was that Daryl and his other brother, Daryl? And then yes. The one guy?
My name's Larry, and this is my brother, Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl.
I was reading in the New York Times, it said, open any search engine you like and type in the words best TV finales. Scroll through the dozens, hundreds of articles. The Newhart finale appears on all of those lists. For its last few minutes alone, Newhart deserves emeritus status on every roundup of the best TV endings, best TV moments, funniest pranks, you name it, in perpetuity. What makes it an all-timer? One knockout punchline, meaning that when we wake up and he wakes up and we all realize that Suzanne Pleshette, the much beloved Suzanne Pleshette, is lying next to him and that the whole thing was a dream. Dick Loudon, getting knocked out by a golf ball in Vermont, wakes up in a Chicago bedroom as Bob Hartley with Emily by his side. And the implication was the whole run of Newhart, the second show, had been Bob's dream. On the night of the finale's taping, the Newhart studio audience whooped in delight. You heard that there. They had to keep the whole thing quiet, private, secret. They didn't want anybody, especially the studio audience, to know what the ruse was going to be. There is some important context for the joke. The TV drama Dallas had a few years earlier negated an entire season by retroactively turning it into one long dream sequence. The medical drama Saint Elsewhere had controversially ended its entire six-year run with a finale that suggested the whole show had been an autistic character's dream. I remember that, where he's looking into the snow globe, and I thought that was great. Newhart was, in part, spoofing those two shows. Newhart always said it was his wife Ginny's idea. The writers said it was theirs. Pleshette said that she had a code name she had to use whenever she called in the office to arrange her appearance so the news wouldn't leak out. On filming day, she had to hide out in a trailer for 6 hours so she would not be spotted by audience members. Because Newhart and Pleshette weren't able to rehearse on the set, she worried that she would forget where the light fixtures were in the Hartley bedroom. As soon as the scene was done, Pleshette said, "I knew it was a piece of television history."
And I was married to this beautiful blonde.
Go back to sleep, Mom.
Good night, Ellen.
What do you mean, beautiful blonde?
Back to the Bob Newhart story for just a second. And by the way, guys, what do Guns N' Roses and Bob Newhart have in common? Did anybody see this factoid?
No.
Kessler,
no,
I'm leaning
stumped
on you
on that
here.
One. No, totally stumped.
Well, come on, Bob.
I don't know. He played tambourine once with them. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be something like that, to be honest with you. It's funny sometimes how incongruous, you know, two people or bands will be, and yet one is a fan of the other. So I thought Newhart would have been a Guns N' Roses fan.
Is it a Grammy thing, maybe?
Almost.
I know his first album won him a Grammy.
Well, now you're going down the right road. He had the number one album on Billboard's Hot 100 and the number two album, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, and then the follow-up to that. And that was the only time anybody had the number one and number two album until 1991, when Guns N' Roses had the number one and number two album. I don't know if that's too obscure or not, but there's the connection. Before we do the best of speed jokes, let's just finish that Newhart story. So we played for you from the second Newhart sitcom, Newhart, where he wakes up at the end and it's Suzanne Pleshette there. They said that when they got done with that Newhart show and Suzanne Pleshette making the so exciting cameo appearance in the final scene of the final show, it says that Pleshette left early from the rap party because Newhart was not her show and she did not want to disrespect Mary Fran, who she felt deserved to take her own vows. Of course, she was the blonde that Bob was referring to in that final scene. She was for even more years his partner on TV. In fact, sticklers for narrative continuity in TV shows have complained that the Newhart finale is somewhat unfair to Fran and to the rest of the show's cast because it implies their characters are less important than the ones from the Bob Newhart show. Newhart said, "Some people felt cheated. They devoted 8 years of their life, and it turns out none of them existed." When asked for his response to that, Newhart said simply, "Okay." Newhart was a comedian first and foremost, and he knew that was funny. Last paragraph from a story in the New York Times about this. Pleshette described her nerves on the day she showed up to shoot that final scene and how, while they were covered with bedsheets and holding for their cue, Newhart squeezed her hand and said the words that should be inscribed on his tombstone. He said, "Wait for the laugh." As ever with Newhart, timing was everything. Nicely done. Okay. Little memory road today. Bob Newhart passing away.